Well, in 2019, the New York Times ran a story about the British actress, Emma Thompson. It was titled, Emma Thompson Gets a Shock at 60, and in it, the author writes, if anyone did not expect to have a midlife crisis, it was Emma Thompson. Being quite sure about things has been a central organising principle in her life. It has informed most every character she has played. All her life, she knew who she was. Now, the roles she had embraced, mother, wife, performer, have her asking, am I any of those things? And if not, who am I? Who am I? We're dealing this morning with the topic of identity, and as we learn from Emma Thompson, this is something that even the most secure among us can struggle with. One of the hurdles we face in life is our sense of who we are. And it's a big topic, and it's been quite current in the last 10 to 15 years, and sometimes we connect identity with certain issues or even certain parts of our community, sometimes with young people, sometimes with politics, sometimes with sexuality, and there's helpful things to dig into there, but I just cannot possibly cover all of that today. And actually, I'm wanting to say that issues of identity are something that all of us face. We all face it. Okay, many of us go through times where we feel down about who we are. We feel bad about our identity or confused about our identity. And for many of us, we're trying to improve our identity. Sometimes we do that on social media, don't we? We carefully choose the pages we like, the pictures we put up, the friends we have, the comments we make, and so on, to kind of cast this improved version of ourselves. And so there's something inside of us where we often feel like we're not yet who we're meant to be. We wish we were more accomplished than we are, had a better kind of family life than we have, that we were fitter than we are, or that our lives were just a little bit less ordinary. And so the question I want us to answer this morning is, you know, why do we so often feel like we're not who we're meant to be? And is there a way that we can feel secure in who we are? That's where we're headed this morning, and you can see the outline there on your screen. We'll look at the destruction of identity, we'll look at the search for identity, and finally, the restoration of identity. So let me begin with the destruction of identity. Okay, the reason we struggle with identity is because our true identity has been damaged. At the beginning of the Bible, we're told that at the center of who we are is God, or he's meant to be. When God created humanity, we're told that he created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Okay, we're told that we're made in God's image, and what an amazing thing. What a dignifying thing. It means we're like God. And you can still see that today in how we're different to the animals. We communicate with language. We're creative. We're personal. We're moral beings. We're like God. But also as part of that, it means that we're wired for him. Okay, sometimes as we think of identity, we sort of think of it as just about me. I look inside myself, but actually identity is connected to relationships. Okay, it's interesting if you go to social media profiles, for example, and check out the profile pictures of people, you'll notice that actually there's a good percentage of people who will include someone else in their profile pic. Maybe it's your spouse, and maybe it's a really good friend, but the truth is that an important dimension of who we are, of how we perceive ourselves, is actually our relationships. And what the Bible teaches is that you were made for God, that you're wired for him. It's why, in fact, globally, religion, would you believe, is on the increase, not the decrease globally, as most people think. It's why in Australia, even where people say that they don't have a religion, the stats are that 2/3 of those people will still say that they are spiritual people, because in fact, we were made for relationship, and in fact, there's something in us that's wired for God. And so we've got this dignified identity given to us by our Creator, and we find that identity in Him. We're made in God's image, but the problem is that that image has been spoiled. And this is, I mean, it's such a key reason for our insecurity in who we are. Okay, our first parents, Adam and Eve, they rejected God's rule. They decided they didn't need God and that they would pursue their own way. And it meant two things. Firstly, one is that, you know, their most central defining relationship was broken. They'd been made for God, but they were not pursuing Him in quite the same way. And it kind of leaves a gap there, doesn't it? All right, think of someone who loses a massive relationship in their life. When that happens, it absolutely does something for your sense of who you are. There is something about the intimacy of that relationship that's grounding. There's something about that that's defining. And so as we reject God, our most defining relationship, it absolutely disorients us. We're disoriented. And more than this, actually part of God's image imprinted on us is His moral character. And so as we turn away from God's standards and do things our own way, what we end up doing is we tear God's image in us. We violate the image of God in us. It's why Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 says when God creates humanity that He recreates us, quote, to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. See, that's actually part of the image of God in us, and we spoil that. So you can see why there's such a sense of disorientation in us. You can see why we have this sense of I'm not really who I'm supposed to be, because things are spoiled. So yes, we still have something of God's image in us. We are those personal creative beings and so on, but still we're always falling short. We know that something's broken, that the image of God in us is not everything it's meant to be. It's kind of like when you look at a mirror, but the mirror's broken. And as you look into that broken mirror, well, you can still see yourself, can't you? But actually, it's a distorted you. And it's how it is between us and God now. And so it's no wonder we have identity problems, that we feel we're not who we're meant to be, because something isn't right. And sadly, what we so often do because we sense that something is out of sync is we run to other things to help us feel secure in who we are. Maybe if I just find my tribe, if I gather together a good bunch of mates, maybe if I lean more into my cultural heritage, if I find a spouse, have kids, achieve success in my career, work out more, get another degree, maybe then I'll have this sense that I'm finally who I'm meant to be. And just to say, it's not a bad thing for you to know your culture, to find a spouse, to be successful in your career. And I wouldn't want to say that those things have no bearing on your sense of who you are. All I'm trying to say is that it's not central to who we are. And that those things are just so inherently fragile that your tribe can turn against you. That your cultural heritage, if you dig deep enough into it, it'll disappoint you. Your spouse, your kids, your mates, any relationship can change. Your successes can backfire. Your body will fail you. Your learning can be surpassed. But they're just all fragile. And so it's just worth us thinking how much weight we ought to put into those things for our identity. They're not meant to be at the core of who we are. It's why we struggle with our identity. So I want to spend more time now thinking about our search for identity, because there's a lot of searching in our culture now, and I want to suggest there's a wrong way to search for identity and a right way. What's the wrong way? Let me say the wrong way to search for identity is to look inward. And I know it's actually really, really different to what you'll most often hear. Ours is such an individualistic society, and so we think that the best way to find yourself is to look inside yourself. That the highest goal in your life is your own personal happiness, that the only wrong that you can do is not to be true to yourself. It's so often what our society says, but I just want to be upfront that actually the Bible tracks in a different direction to that. It doesn't track with the idea that our identity is mostly found in just looking in. And finding ourselves and then expressing that. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 10, some words of Jesus. Matthew 10, and these words were clearly important to Jesus because they're mentioned in all four Gospels and on multiple occasions, actually. And he says this. He says, "Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Jesus is talking here about finding your life. The word for life there, it's similar to the idea of self. And so here's the person who pursues self. It's, if you like, the self-made person. It's the person who looks inside and works out their dreams and follows that relentlessly, regardless of what the impacts of that are for others in their lives. They're being true to themselves because they need to cut their own path and find their life. And Jesus says it won't work. Jesus says whoever finds their life loses it. You won't find the fulfillment you're after. Now, Jesus isn't against ambition. But he's saying that your life isn't just about asserting yourself. That it's not just about expressing yourself. And he's saying that if that's the only grid that you have, if life is just about expressing your identity, then ironically, you'll end up losing your identity. Because actually we were made for more than self. Okay, Brian Rosner, the principal of Ridley College in Melbourne, has a great book. It's called How to Find Yourself, Why Looking Inward is Not the Answer. And I'm helped by some of his material here. And among other things, he mentions several ways we hurt ourselves by looking inward too much. And he says this. He says, when we're too focused inwardly, several things happen. He says, actually, we're more likely to think we'll always get what we want out of life when we're always looking in. And he says, it makes it harder for us to cope with suffering, that we become less resilient people. when we do that. He says, when we're always looking in, we become preoccupied with ourselves, which makes us more needy for the approval of others. And so that's not good. He says that when we're always looking in, we become more willing to push others aside in the pursuit of our goals, which increases conflict. And he says, when we're always looking in, we feel more isolated because we're always looking inside, and that it has this dynamic of driving towards social isolation, which makes us feel unhappy. So his point is simply to drive at this truth that Jesus here is seeking to express, which is that there's something about trying to find yourself in yourself, exclusively in yourself, that doesn't work. You are made for more than you. And so the wrong way to search for identity is just to look inward. Well, then is the right way to feel good about yourself, the right way to search for identity? Let me say that the right way to search for identity is actually not to search for it at all. It's the right way. And, okay, I'm exaggerating the point a little bit, but I do want to say just a little bit. Because the truth is that the way you're going to find security in who you are isn't by searching for your identity. Rather, it's by looking outward toward Christ. Okay, as we've seen, we're not made for ourselves but for God, and it's as we look to God in Christ, we end up finding that sense of personal security we crave. Again, think of Jesus' words. He says, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Jesus is saying it's the person who's less concerned with themselves, more concerned with him, that ends up finding themselves. It's this paradox, isn't it? Kind of a profound irony. And so just to say, the idea, it's not that we're always putting ourselves down. It's not about ignoring your achievements or thinking about yourself in a way that's lower than you are. But rather, it's just about it's just about not thinking about yourself that much. That's what it's about. It's okay, as Timothy Keller liked to put it, he would say that humility in the Bible is, it's not thinking more of myself or less of myself. It's thinking about myself less. He said, all right? In other words, humility in the Bible is self-forgetful, whereas pride is self-fixated. And Jesus here is saying it's as we become less fixed on ourselves and more fixed on Christ, the irony is that in the process, we actually become more secure in who we are. We were ready to lose our lives for Christ, but we saved it. And so if you're wanting to find an identity which is secure, if you're feeling disoriented, I want to say that I genuinely believe that it's going to be as you look at Christ, what you have in him, that you'll be finding that security. I want to spend some more time on that now and talk about the restoration of identity in Christ, that in Jesus we really can see ourselves differently. And we'll think into two truths here that are important for how we perceive ourselves. And just to say that for many of us here today, these will be things you already know. But the part for us to play is to really just to take on board how precious these truths absolutely are and to genuinely believe them for ourselves and for what they mean about who we are. Okay, for the person who trusts in Jesus, I want to say that it's the resources you have for how you perceive your identity, they're just out of this world, right? Out of this world. And yet sometimes as Christians, we can be, I think, like someone who owns a palace, and yet we live in the servants' quarters. We don't always take advantage of the blessings that we have. And so if you trust in Jesus, what I want for you is just to sit in these blessings that you have in Jesus. And if you haven't yet trusted in Jesus, I want to say that what we're talking about now, it absolutely can be yours as you put your hope, as you put your trust, your confidence in him. And so two ways that our identity is restored as we belong to Christ. And the first relates to what you've done. Okay, what we do, it plays into our sense of identity, does it not? Again, you'll notice in people's profile pictures that one of the ways that people define themselves is in terms of their achievements. It'll be a picture of them on a mountain bike, or in my case, a picture hiking, right? Or maybe it's something related to their job on, you know, they're on the farm, or they're in a business suit, or perhaps it's them in their scholar's hat, they've just graduated, right? What we do, it's part of how we define ourselves, and as we know, sometimes that's affirming, but also, as we mentioned earlier, for all of us, we have stained God's good image in us. And there's a very Bible-y word for it. The Bible says that we're no longer righteous as God is righteous. And that lack of righteousness tears at the image of God in us, at who we are. We're not righteous. But in Jesus, all that changes. Because in Jesus, God looks on us and sees perfect goodness. In fact, we're told that in Jesus, we're clothed in the very righteousness of God. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians 5:21, one of my favorite passages. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Okay? Righteousness of God. In other words, when you put your faith in Jesus, it's a swap. He gets all of your sin and dies for it, and you get all of his goodness. The righteousness of the Son of God himself, you understand that. And so if you're struggling with what good am I, what good have I ever done? Well, the answer you can give in one sense is to think of all the good that Jesus has done. And name some of them. Acting with compassion. Caring for the poor. Standing for what's right. Always faithful, doing all things out of an absolutely pure heart. You can name some of them, and you can realize that in God's eyes, that is the good you have done, because the very righteousness of the Son of God has been counted to you. You see what I'm saying? As you trust in Jesus, it's not just that your sin is counted to Jesus, but actually that his goodness is counted to you. So what good have you done? As God sees you, an awful lot. In fact, as he sees you, he in Jesus, what he sees is the very image of his Son reflected back in all of its startling beauty. And that's your new identity. And it's amazing. So that whatever shame you feel, however guilty you feel, however ineffective, however unaccomplished you feel, In Jesus, you bear the very righteousness of God himself. That's your identity. Friends, do you believe it? And can you see how reminding yourself of that and turning your eyes there will help you so much more than turning your eyes inward? There is new goodness in Jesus. And finally, let me say that in Jesus also we have a new Father. Okay, we've mentioned that our identity is influenced by our relationships, and isn't this so much true when it comes to our parents, right? The identity we derive from our parents, it's a good example of this. If our parents were well off, often we sort of think of ourselves as rich. If our parents weren't so well off, we might think of ourselves as poor. We kind of gain a sense of identity from our parents, and that can be so good if our parents were good role models. But how many people are there also that actually just struggle with internal security, insecurities about who they are because they're worried they're going to end up like their parents? Our relationships absolutely can affect us in this way. And what the Bible teaches is that in Christ, we're brought into this new, deep, identity-defining, transforming relationship, and that is that we're adopted into God's family. Listen to how John exults in this in 1 John 3. He says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. Amazing. Romans 8 talks of the same thing. Paul says there, "The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry out, Abba, Father." How amazing that through Christ we have a new Father, sons and daughters of the King himself. In fact, as Paul goes on to say in Romans 8, we share privileges with Jesus as our elder brother, and along with him, we are heirs of all that is part of that royal family, to the rights of that royal family. Paul goes on, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." God's our Father. And because of that, we're heirs of all the privileges of his kingdom, and we share with that, with Jesus, our elder brother. And the point is, that's our new identity. That's the level of privilege we've now come into. And that ought to be what's defining us. So part of the challenge of being a Christian is learning now to see ourselves as God actually sees us. Okay, I don't know what kind of family you think you would need to be part of to give you a sense of security in who you are. I don't know if you feel like you would need to be part of a very, very rich family, or a very, very powerful family, or a very, very generous family, whatever it might be. But what we need to get into our thinking, to drink down deeply into our souls, is the fact that through faith in Christ, you become part of a family that is all that and more. Sons and daughters of the King himself, a privileged people with a rich inheritance to look forward to. It's who we are if we've trusted in Jesus. And what security should come from that? See, whatever our relationships, this is saying, surely, this is a more significant relationship. Something that should define you more. God is your Father. So we need to make sure we lean into that for our identity more than anything else. A new Father. So let me finish this morning by asking you to think of this for yourself. Where do you find your identity? What is it that you look to help you feel secure in who you are? So many things we can look to feel secure, and what is it for you? Is it the job you have? Is it the experiences you have? Is it your human relationships, your spouse, your boyfriend, girlfriend, mates? Is it the image you've crafted, the clothes you've wear? What gives you your identity? And I just want to say that though all of that is not bad, yet none of those things are enough. They cannot fill the need that we have for identity. We've been made for God at the center of who we are. We've ruined that as we've turned away from Him, but through Jesus, we can once again be what we are meant to be. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for our identity in you, for making us into your image. We acknowledge, our God, that we've damaged your image in us, and it's so disorienting, and we confess we so often look for our identity in the wrong places. So forgive us, we pray, and help us to find our identity in Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.